We drink tequila. We talk.
Welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
All right. We're getting going. I'm so glad you could make it. I know it's nice, right? Okay. Everybody, welcome to Team Tequila Talks. Your regular host, Cassandra Ginamel, and Cherion Gonzalez, who is mixing up a citrus smash for us. And our special guest, Amy Jordan. And she founded it's not just a Pilates company. I don't want to say just Pilates because that's really grossly underselling it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. So it's Wunderbar, and that's actually when I first met you forever ago. I was pregnant. This is almost a decade ago now, and you were also pregnant, and I was taking your pregnancy class.
Right? We were working out together while we were making humans. We were very busy.
Yeah. Very busy. Women are multitaskers, right?
I agree.
Yeah. So Wunderbar is an interesting concept because it's not just your stereotypical Pilates. I feel like you as an entrepreneur looked at the basics of Pilates and said, hold on, I want to do more with this. I want to add to it. I want this alone is great, but it could be so much more.
That's exactly the approach I took because I loved Pilates. I loved the anatomy of movement.
Cheers. As we get the background on Wunderbar with Amy here.
Yes. I loved the quality of movement and the functionality of it, but I was so damn bored. So bored.
Pilates can be slow.
Super slow.
Traditional Pilates.
It can get really, and sometimes some teachers can get really repetitive.
It's easy to fall into that cadence, and I understand that, but I really wanted to bring this like high energy, fun experience to the equipment, to the approach of Pilates. But then I didn't have the floor space in my studio to do so, to have a wounded chair, to have a ballet bar, to have a reformer, to have a jump board. So I made my own.
There you go.
Sketched it on an airplane and then created and patented my own machine called a Wundiformer. And it really, the whole idea is to take these beautiful apparatuses of Pilates and making it into a Swiss Army knife of Pilates machine. So it's efficient for floor space as well as class flow. So you don't get bored, to your point, right?
Right.
So you never know, am I starting on the jump board today or the window chair or the reformer or the ballet bar? Where are we going to go from here? And it's different every single class you take.
And I think traditional Pilates, too, can be really great for if you want to get a good stretch and for sort of paying attention to some of your postural muscles and lengthening out. But I have noticed that, like, I'll burn more calories from yoga sometimes just because you're really doing bigger movements, and regular Pilates a lot of times is lacking that cardio component.
For sure, and that's something that we bring into it to elevate the experience and get your whole body working and compound movement the whole time, head to toe. So on our schedule, you see there's no abs and ass class. There's no legs class because it's full body, head to toe, dripping in sweat, get out the door. We only have 45 minutes. Go on your way.
Perfect. Because I do think sometimes, I know for me, if I do a really, really, I can make a Pilates class really hard for myself because I've been doing it for years now. But sometimes I do have to go for a walk, or I do a quick little, come home and do a quick little 10-minute cardio burst, something to get that sweat out. So I think it's really cool that your version of Pilates, because I think there's Legree, and then like you would be like an offshoot of Legree. No,
we're a totally different approach.
Just a whole different approach. Okay.
Where Legree would be, I would classify more as a fitness oriented, and Sebastian is a friend of mine, and he's the first to say it's not Pilates, it's Legree, right?
Yeah.
And so
I think he trademarks that saying,
no doubt. And then you have traditional Pilates over here. So I feel like what Wunderbar does is bridges the gap. So it's not just kind of fitness pounded out without any, you know, kind of methodology, but it's more about really infusing the integrity of Pilates, that functional movement, into a fun, high energy environment that could be compared to SoulCycle or any other kind of group energy, right, sweat class, you know, not just the people that are more, you know, close to us in the space.
Right.
I remember I lived right down the street from, it wasn't your first studio, was it?
It was the flagship Wunderbar.
It was the flagship,
I had,
right?
Other studios that were associated with a different brand, but the Wunderbar in Studio City was the flagship studio.
It was, and I used to live right down the street, and I'm not a morning person. And when I was pregnant, I was sleeping like 15 hours a day. No why. I never got super sick, but I definitely was out for the count, sleeping like an insane person.
Is real.
And I would set my alarm. I think that pregnancy class was at like 9 a.m., 10 a.m. It wasn't even that early. And I would roll out of bed and just like power walk down the street. And I already like had that elevated elevated heart rate when I was walking in the door. It was great. And that was an excellent routine for me.
I think 9 o'clock month 6, 7, 9 o'clock was way too early for me. But in my first two trimesters, I was like up at 5:15. I don't know
like
why.
Ready to go.
I was waiting for something to happen. I think I was like, ooh, what's going on down
there?
Let me look
now?
In the mirror.
Right.
Let me eat my oatmeal. Let me do all these things. But I feel like month 7, 8, 9, I was noon, 1.
You're just sleeping. I was up early teaching Pilates. That's what I was doing.
I cannot believe you were doing that with a whole human.
I taught until 2 weeks before I delivered and took class. I don't know that I recommend it, but I did it.
That's one thing that they always say. Okay, so one of the things that I was going to ask about the pregnancy thing, you are an expert in this, obviously. You've had 2 kids. You've been pregnant twice. And you also are an expert in movement and how the body works. Hours and hours and hours of training, right?
Yeah.
And they always say with pregnancy that you shouldn't try anything new. But if you are a runner, keep running. And if you are into Pilates or weightlifting, take precautions, but you can keep doing those things because your muscles are trained to do those things and you're not trying something new where you're going to hurt yourself or whip your hips in a weird position. Do you generally agree with that?
I feel like it's a really important and powerful time in your life. And so I think whatever movement supports you emotionally and physically is the movement to lean into, even if it is something new, because if you're in an expert's hands, for example, a brand new pregnant person could walk in and I can take really good care of them on the spot. And it's happened before I've done it. And I don't know that in my own experience that it felt great to do things like running, things that were creating a lot of impact. And if that works for you, that works for you. But I really feel like it's about understanding the kind of energy and sense of your own self as you're moving and as you're creating a human, because that is going to go into your baby's DNA. And so I believe that it should be a really positive and powerful and supportive experience for you. And that's what we really provide to our Wundamamas.
See, that's really awesome, because I know there was a WNBA player, I think it was Maya Moore is her name. And she, I might be wrong on that, but I'll double check that. She played into her 7th month.
Wow.
And no
one in the WNBA.
In the WNBA. And when I'm telling you, she had probably one of the best postseasons. And my husband was just like, this girl is set. I was like, she's had a baby. We just watched her game a couple months. Like, what? I'm like, oh, she probably didn't have the baby. Because like, and then she just got her jersey back here and sagged her pants a little. She was crossing over girls, doing layups. I was just like, I just think sometimes when you're super active to begin with, your body craves. I know when I was pregnant, I had to move 5-6 days a
Absolutely.
Week. If I sat on my butt, my back would hurt. I would get
100%.
Shoulder, my neck. It's like I had to keep going, otherwise I was feeling stiff.
Yeah. Well, your body is like, if you think of it like a car, you don't park a car in the garage for, a month, 6 months and expect it to work well. It needs to be driven around. It needs to be moved. It needs to be conditioned. And that's the way I look at movement, that it's an essential part of our lives and not something that's like an option, like, oh, I don't like working out. It's like, well, you have to move your body if you want it to.
Something that works for you.
Something. Everyone, there is something for everyone.
There's something for everyone.
Absolutely.
I've got a friend that's like, I hate exercising, but she will walk for multiple hours a day sometimes.
Amazing.
Just walks. And she's like, this is my only thing that I like to do. I am mm-hmm. not interested in picking up a weight. I don't want to run. I don't want my heart rate up above a certain. I don't like being sweaty. But as long as you're physically active, walking is kind of like a baseline of physical activity.
Absolutely, and it's going to be so good for everything, including your core, because you're finding that balance and that forward momentum. It's great for cardiovascular health, mm-hmm. and the way that my mentor always said it is that you breathe with your legs and you walk with your lungs. And so it's because it's all combined. There's no such thing as slicing it up and saying, like, well, she's not doing a core workout. Well, yeah, she is.
I was just going to say, you don't even have to be able to walk. I went to Wimbledon and we watched the, I don't actually know the official term for it. If it is paraplegic or if it's the wheelchair, it was the wheelchair finals. And they have a full Wimbledon tournament.
Amazing.
And everybody's in a wheelchair and they are whipping it.
I know.
And they are in better shape than I am. And I feel I feel like I'm pretty physically active, but I feel like they could wipe the floor with me.
Absolutely. I think the science behind walking over the years has gotten a lot more specific. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they say the 10,000 steps a day for cardiovascular health. I mean, it's just, it's...
That's a lot, by the way.
It is.
It is a lot.
Actually,
10,000 steps is actually a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, and I didn't know this until I started wearing my Apple Watch and going, oh, I'm going to pay attention to my steps now because right. I've always been super active. So I never thought that I had to pay attention to my steps. And even on days where I was going and knocking out a 350 calorie workout and, you know, making dinner and going to pick my daughter from school and stuff, I get to the end of the day and be like, how is this only 5,000 steps? This is bullshit.
I have to go on a hike to nail it or do some dance cardio because then you're kind of hopping around and dancing a lot, doing a lot more steps. But they say now for 3 to 5 days a week, walking with a weighted backpack is a game changer.
That's interesting. It's new science.
It's new science. And it's basically...
That's why all these kids are in shape, huh? Because they're doing it anyway, right?
They're walking... Well, my daughter does like 17,000 steps a day. And I was like... I'll look at her Apple
10
Watch.
10 a.m. rolls around and it says, she's closed her ring.
She's closed. I'm like, girl. She's like tiny little thing. But if you put like 3 to 5 pounds in just a backpack, even while you're walking around the house with your leg weights or arm weights, they're saying just that extra... force you have to get off the couch. Just the extra stuff that you do for your heart is like amazing. And the new science about it is like great. They're like all these athletes. I was watching some of the Clippers on NBA TV. They were doing the dunes in Manhattan Beach and all of them had on the backpacks. And I was like, those are the backpacks. They have slates of metal in them.
Okay. Well, speaking of the science, what are we drinking, Cherry?
Ooh, we are drinking a very citrus. What is it? A very citrus smashed margarita.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very citrus smashed margarita because we didn't have to juice anything. We literally muddled everything. It's the easiest, quickest thing. We cut up some limes. We cut up some oranges, grapefruit. We have a little mint in there, muddled it together, threw in some añejo, and we shook it up. Boom. Mint on top.
Perfect.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's really good. I'm a big fan of mint in general. We've got our grapefruit, which we've already gone in depth in previous episodes about the benefits of grapefruit, lime, orange, and mint. Mint is the interesting thing here because I think that the world in general doesn't talk enough about micronutrients, right? So we've got all of these things that are just as important as your protein and your fats and your carbs. You need to really also get into your electrolytes, especially as physically active people. It's not just, oh, am I getting enough sodium and potassium? You're also talking about selenium and magnesium and chromium and all of these things that are going to help balance out your body for both your gut, your mental health, and your recovery, hydration especially. So mint is actually a bit of a wonder herb. And it's delicious. It's really heavy in chlorophyll, which, as indicated by the very green leaves, but a lot of people don't know that there are a lot of benefits to chlorophyll. It's a master antioxidant, and really the great thing about mint, too, specifically, it actually helps with scent. So they say the functional medicine people say like if you're a little funky, you gotta put
rub
some,
it on your pits.
You can rub it on your pits.
You can rub
it in your hands if you get sweaty palms.
If you have a spontaneous happy times and you meet a very lovely partner, maybe put some mint in your purse and give it
just
a little
in case.
I haven't tried that. That might burn a little.
It'd be minty fresh. No, just on
maybe
the top.
Maybe report back.
Minty fresh. Yeah. We'll let you try that one, Cher.
Okay.
But it's there are a lot of benefits to mint, and one of the ones that we just learned about, which was really interesting, obviously a very common sign right now of a common sign of the times, I guess, is people that have long COVID. We've heard that people with COVID can lose their sense of smell and taste, and also the medication that they are giving patients with COVID now, as that is developing, can really leave a metallic taste in your mouth, as does chemo.
Yes.
And it really sucks when you are already feeling under the weather, feeling shitty, or you're ill, and then you can't enjoy your food. And that is just such a buzzkill and an appetite killer, and it can really bring you down when you can't find comfort in something that is a basic human need.
Yeah, and I think there's how many taste buds? Thousands of like these things on your tongue that are basically like cells on your tongue, and they're called taste papillae.
And yeah, those are the little
thousands of sensory organs, which is why they say, you know, hand to mouth, like a food addiction, you just keep trying to get those things tickling in there. But I do think when you're sick or super just like famished, to not be able to taste like garlic, onion, the things that make food great would probably be like
spice and
that stuff. My sister couldn't taste garlic after she had COVID for like 9 months.
So the mint doesn't magically make you doesn't reactivate your taste buds.
No.
However, it can help cancel out that metallic taste.
And I think it helps with nausea too.
It does.
Right?
Yes. We were going to get there. Yes.
For those of you who don't know, who I'm a new friend for, but I battled cancer during COVID and I didn't have any appetite. But I will say that mint was one of the things that didn't create more nausea after really intense chemo. And it did help with that metallic taste out of your mouth, because that is a real thing. I didn't know what to expect. Everyone's side effects are going to be different. But for sure that helped. And it was one of the few things that wasn't something that you were just like, oh my God, get that out of my space. And that was a really helpful tool for chemo. And then I wish I had even thought of it, because I lost my taste for a very short time when I had COVID. But
well, the mint is, there are a couple benefits of not just consuming mint, but using mint, is that it's super readily available. And if you plant mint either in a planter on a balcony or in your yard, it will grow like a weed.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
You will have so much. It grows so easily. And mint tea is the easiest thing to do, because all you have to do is cut the stems. You don't even have to take off the leaves or anything. You just grab a handful of shrubbery and put it in boiling water.
And you just muddle it.
You can. You don't even have to. You can also just, you can massage the leaves with your hand. And it's going
to,
it's the oils, and it's going to break down when you break open those leaves. They're going to release that molecular structure, all of those benefits of the chlorophyll and the smells. Why? When you rub it too much, your hands are going to turn green, right? So that is the chlorophyll coming out and doing its magic, and it's Mother Nature's, I don't want to say medicine, but supplement?
I look at it that way.
They say it decreases breastfeeding pain, it helps brain function.
I thought that was cabbage leaves.
Right?
Is that still a thing?
It was for me.
I did banana leaves. I was in Canada. I couldn't find cabbage. I was like, I saw banana leaves.
I don't think
leaves.
That's how it works, Sherry.
I just touched a leaf. I found an oak tree, I got some leaves.
Little poison ivy. What's this shaving?
Oh, man, I'm itching. But I do, when I was sick as a kid, I was raised with my grandmother, she was very old school, so I was not allowed a lot of, like, remember Robitussin? Like, everything was like Robitussin. She was like, no.
Well, it has so much dye and garbage in it.
And, like, the smell of it and the taste of it, she was like, kids should not be drinking things that are so repulsive.
She's right.
She is correct. I mean, I love the brand Genexa, because they have, they're realistic. They know that if your child has a 104-degree fever, it's time to give them something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe, I wait till there's a threshold, because the fever, especially for children, is just your body doing its thing.
It's doing its job to get rid of the illness.
But if you want to make it through the night and not have to go to the emergency room, sometimes we have to take medicine. It is what it is. And we're really grateful that we have that. But Genex is amazing because they don't actually put extra dyes or sugars.
That's awesome.
And I have to say that my daughter can even tell the difference. She's like, am I going to get the good one or the funky tasting one? Just because it kind of tastes neutral.
That's Skylar. I give her the one for the upset tummy one. And then she's just like, because she likes the gummies.
Like the candy tasting ones.
But the gummies.
But what are we doing that we're conditioning our kids to expect medicine to taste like candy?
Yeah.
It's supposed to taste bad, so you don't want to have it.
Exactly.
So
that it's not something interesting to you.
So true.
Well, the other great thing about mint in general is it's great for the whole family. But but you can stick it in a pitcher of water and just let it sit in your fridge. You know, you take some filtered water and you pop the full mint leaves. It's actually better if you don't muddle and smash them up, because then you don't really have to have a strainer. And the leaves themselves are going to your water might turn a hint green, but that's what you want.
That's cool, spa water. It's like, right? It's like a spa cucumbers water. For some extra hydration.
It's going to get fancy at the Jordan household.
Yes. And it's the easiest thing. You walk out, you grab a handful from your garden, you stick it in your pitcher. And mint's also not expensive if you don't have that availability. And you can do it in a planter on a balcony. It's not that you need a garden to do, because it is quite easy to grow.
Yeah.
But it tends to be relatively inexpensive when you go to the grocery store.
I'm inspired. I want to grow some.
Huge. You can. Yes. Exactly. I actually suggest a big planter, like a big pot, because if you have it in a big area, it will spread. And it does turn into a bit of a weed. So you need it in a place that's relatively contained. Okay. Like maybe if you have in your front yard next to your front door, you've got like one little strip of, you know, something like that. But you don't just want to toss it next to the grass.
And you can put it, my girlfriend has hers in like the tower, like where it tells it to grow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like a climbing vine kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a little wooden thing her husband built. And so it can't grow out. You can control the grow.
Right, control.
Like, yeah, just get a little like wooden planter thingy.
This is also a really fun, we went very easy on the sugar because we used just some pure agave syrup, agave nectar, sorry. We just used some pure agave nectar and just a dash per serving because we think that the fruit kind of speaks for itself. These oranges are so juicy. Good. These are from my tree in my front yard. So juicy. And so it didn't really need a ton of sugar. However, sometimes with kids, if they're conditioned to sweeter juices, it's okay if you use a little bit more orange, a little less grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make this as a fun summer mocktail for your kids.
That's a good idea.
You know, we mentioned if you're recovering from COVID and you've lost your taste, or maybe if you're going through chemo, you probably don't want to be drinking.
No, you don't.
But this is an amazing option as a mocktail as well, that you can really enjoy the ritual of drinking if you normally drink that you might be missing.
When it gives them something fun to drink that's not a soda, that's not some garbagey juice or any, you know, juice boxes, all the things that they want but just aren't good.
Correct.
Yeah.
I do agree. You know, I think when I was younger, my grandma would give me mint tea. So I used to have this thing, you know, when you're a kid and someone tells you you have to take something, then you develop, like, I used to hate avocados. Like when I was in middle school, I hated avocados.
You're a California girl. That's blasphemy.
We had an avocado tree.
Somebody kick her out.
I know. But you know, when you're like 7, 8 and every time you eat breakfast, there's avocado on your plate. It's just like nasty to me because she didn't put salt and pepper on it. She's like, just taste the bland, taste the this. And I'm like, it was kind of bland. It's kind of bland avocado by itself for a 7-year-old.
I don't like an avocado by itself. I gotta be real. I can eat it with salad dressing.
I will report you both.
I could do an avocado. I mean, I'm not a huge bread person, but occasionally I'll do an avocado toast, and I can do that. I love like just salt, pepper, lemon, and chili flakes.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. But again, I'm a big sauce and spice girl, so to me, basically everything is a vessel for sauce and spice.
It's a spoon.
How can I add more of this, like, ranch on here?
I hate ranch with a passion.
Well, you know, the good ranch.
Then I'm going to get kicked out of Texas for saying that.
Exactly.
Well, Texas card is revoked. No, but the good ranch. I buy I buy the good no-dairy ranch.
It's super easy to make.
Yeah, it is.
It's super easy to make.
I like the Primal Kitchen one because theirs is all no-dairy.
Primal Kitchen.
Okay.
You don't? Well, Is it not seasoned enough?
To each their own, though.
I prefer to make my own.
I usually make my own, but when we travel a lot for work, so a lot of times I like to have something in the pantry for right when we get back.
That makes sense.
Because we do grow our own lettuce, onions, tomatoes, and stuff in the garden.
I've had them. Delicious. Yep. I can attest to them. Yum.
And I like to, and I have got some proteins in the freezer, and I love when we get home saying, I'm just going to whip up something quick for dinner,
because
we just had a long travel day. I like being able to just say, here's a quick salad, a little bit of protein, and maybe some veggies from the freezer, and that makes my life a lot easier. I'd say 90% of the time make my own dressings. And once you learn how to make a basic vinaigrette, the sky is the limit.
And you'll never go back. Like every once in a while I'll grab a bottle of dressing, like, oh, this actually looks delicious. You know, they'll do a nice little marketing job on me, and then I grab it and I'm like, oh, and it goes in the garden.
Well, also you have to still, even at Whole Foods, sometimes you have to check the ingredients because even
sugar,
if they don't have xanthan gum and all, like even if at Whole Foods they don't have the really bad chemicals, they still have a lot of extra sugar or maybe soybean oil, which you don't want to do from a hormonal standpoint.
Rapeseed oil, they'll put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I make mine, I put it in the fridge. I started doing that in college because I was like broke and it was just cheaper to buy some olive oil and some garlic and some oregano.
It's more sustainable
and
too.
And vinegar. Yeah, it is.
And then you go from there and you can just really take different spins on it. I made one last night. I did a summer lemon salad. And I, because I bought mint for this drink, and it came in a huge thing.
That was a big vat.
Because
of
I got
mint.
Back and I got I back like, and we have a certain section that we're replanting for some late summer veggies with the California heat and everything. So the mint in our garden was not available. We only hunt basil, and it's not quite the same. Mm-hmm. So I bought some mint, and I actually cut up a lot of the mint with arugula and parsley, and did this sautéed lemon salad with a shallot vinaigrette, mm-hmm. and it was phenomenal. Learn how to make that basic vinaigrette, which you can, we could tell you how to do it, but you also have Google at your fingertips. Not you, you know how to do it. Yeah. I just, and by you, I mean those of you listening to us. Learn how to make a basic vinaigrette and then really just start playing with it because you're just going to feel so much better. It's so much cleaner. And then you feel like you've got this really cool party trick up your sleeve.
You absolutely. Do. You do. I agree. I make a good raspberry vinaigrette.
And you can get creative with whatever you have in your fridge, whether it's lemon or shallot or raspberries. And that's the fun part of it. If you know how to make the base
100%.
And then whatever you have, you can get inspired. And I look at it as, you know, like a way to, like a creative outlet.
So when you're feeling creative and inspired, do you come up with inventions all on your own? Like the Wundercore?
COVID was a long 2 years, guys.
I had a lot of time to sculpt. I literally sculpted the Wundercore, my new product launching in September. I sculpted it out of clay on my daughter's Barbie doll.
Okay.
Nice.
So was it Barbie sized or was it?
It was Barbie sized at first. No, the first one I have like fits in between your thumb and your index finger. It's tiny. Uh-huh. It's made of clay. It's actually really
cute.
That
seems like it would be harder to make than one that is
life size
because did you have special tools?
No, in my fingers. Like we rolled it out like a snake. Like we were in kindergarten.
Wait, so what made you think of this?
So one of my clients came to me and said, you know, will you take a meeting? And I was like, sure. You know, and thinking, oh God, she wants to franchise. We don't franchise, but okay. You know, I'll be polite. I like this woman very well. I'll take the meeting. And she said, you know, I'm in the product space. We just sold our company, and now we are working with entrepreneurs to bring product ideas to life. And I thought, oh, that's, now we're talking. Like, now that's really interesting to me. And she said, I'd love to help you. And so her name's Lauren and her partner, Sam, they helped me just kind of kickstart this idea. Like, you can do this and we can help you make it. Because the idea of actually going into production and finding a factory and sourcing the materials and getting the drawings, it's exhausting. The Wundaformers in studio we're still tinkering and noodling, and it's a never-ending process. But to feel like I had this team in support to help really bring it to life, then all the ideas just started rolling. Within a week, we had the Barbie doll prototype working, and then they got
the Barbie doll prototype.
Okay. We got their team working on drawings. I had made a life-size version out of tin foil and duct tape. I mean, literally.
Okay.
Then we got into the drawings, and then you start 3D prints and, you know, choosing materials, choosing colors. Wow. And so these are working prototypes we have here. They're now in my studios. I'm teaching with them all the time. It's so fun.
So you put your arms or legs through there? Like,
yes.
What?
Okay. I was just going to ask this because I've seen it a bunch. Obviously, I follow you and your work and what you're doing. And I was trying to explain to Sherry exactly what it was. And I said, you know, it's kind of like that ring, you know, the ring, taken a Pilates class ever in your life, or you've probably even seen it at the gym, yoga, whatever.
Absolutely.
And it's like that, but you have options.
But so much better, right? So the ring is impossibly, but somehow both too wide and too narrow at the same time.
Yeah.
So if you hold it in your arms, it's too narrow and you're kind of impinging on your shoulder joints. That's not feeling great, right? And then if you put it between your ankles, your legs go too wide and you're not aligned with your hip insertion points, and then it's too wide. And especially if you are petite, then your stance is really wide.
Like a trucker stance.
Forget about it.
And then they tell you just to squeeze it harder and you're like, hold on. But now I'm compromising my form.
Compromising everything, and I'm dumping into the low back and all of these things that we really don't want. It's also very light and flimsy. So it's if you tear one apart, which
they've
I have
popped
now
out of
done,
my legs before,
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Boom. They go flying. The little rubber pads, they disintegrate. So as a studio owner, we're replacing them constantly. They're cumbersome. The clients didn't like the experience they were having, and myself as a movement expert, I didn't like the experience I was providing with it. So I said, this is my first order of business is to improve upon this. So I'll hand each of you one. Ooh. So the Wundercore is...
This one has glitter.
Isn't that fabulous? We're testing exactly how much sparkle it will have. So you can feel that it's sturdier, but it still has flex.
Little
in the
give.
Middle here. It has some give.
Yeah, yeah.
but it's 1.3 pounds. So it gives us just enough feedback so that when you do have it around your ankles, around your calves, in your hands, even just sitting here, guys, like, press in on it, and you're going to feel your core light up just by pressing in on it.
You can't, like, because it doesn't really have give the long way.
Exactly. So it, like, it has some feedback.
Oh, look, it works your boobs.
Right? That. That's why I really made it. Don't tell anyone.
That's a boob workout.
So, I mean, and the first thing is everyone looks at it and they say, oh, yeah, I get it, Thighmaster. And like, okay, yeah, you can do that too. So you can put it between your thighs. We're even using it, you know, behind our back, and it's great for tricep and middle back posture movement. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Try this, because even while we're just sitting, if you bring it back behind your head, it opens through the shoulders and you can open the spine. This is so nice for all of this forward, you know, COVID posture we've developed.
And the computer screen neck and all that
That's
stuff.
Exactly
now,
right.
Can you do squats in these? Are these good 100%. To put your ankles in and do squats?
Absolutely.
For form?
And what it does is it keeps you organized so your knees aren't dropping in and out. It's going to give you feedback on the outer line of your body, which in turn then passes energy to the inner line of the body.
I feel like you can put this in a suitcase, too, because it's 100%. Only 1 pound, so you're not going.
I assure you that I've been stopped at JFK for having one of these in my suitcase.
And they're like, what is this?
Ma'am?
I have gotten stopped at JFK for worse things in my suitcase on romantic weekends.
Oh, are you going to tell that story?
No, I am not.
So Cass is going to report back on that. Sherry's going to report back on mint cleanup.
But I always travel with a set of bands.
And a ring doesn't fit because it's in a travel carry-on. It's like you had to smash it.
And ankle weights are too heavy.
They'll stop you for that, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been stopped on my ankle weights and my 3 pound hand weights.
Yes, absolutely. So this is really light. You can even toss it in a backpack very easily. It's small enough to go into a backpack, but you can see that it's wide enough where I'm not pinching in on my shoulders. And I've tested it now with hundreds and hundreds of clients, and it's just bonkers to see their faces light up. They get it in exercises that they've not gotten before. So like a teaser or a boat pose if you do yoga. So often that's like, oh, the front of my hips, this sucks.
Hip flexors.
So
I throw
much.
Stuff into my, I have to point my toes out and I don't want to, but
exactly.
Otherwise it's going to dump
this
into my hip flexors.
This takes it away.
So what would you, because I feel like there's a lot of women out there, not just women, a lot of people in general, but there's a lot of people that have a great idea and they don't know how to make it come to fruition. And even as you said, it has been such a long process and it is a lot of hiccups, and you had this idea years ago and it's just now coming together. And so I would say that obviously patience and perseverance are a part of that. But now going through the experience, if you were going to give someone advice for an invention to just be birthed into the world, what would it be?
First thing you want to do is find a team who can help you execute it and not expect yourself to do the whole process, right? Like I could sculpt it for the Barbie doll, but I don't know how to do a mechanical drawing. I don't have a 3D printer. I don't even have connections to source this and really work with experts who come up with questions and input that I didn't even know need to be asked. So with the Woundiformer, I did just kind of muddle through and do it on my own. As I was pregnant with my son, I had my Woundiformer and my son the same week when they came out.
Oh, you just love making life difficult.
I really do. And this process, because I did rely heavily on my development team, we are going to be launching a little less than a year from when I sculpted that first Barbie doll ring.
I mean, that's pretty
quick
fast
to get all the way to market, especially with all the COVID delays, because China's been shut down on more than one occasion. And then just to get the product here, the shipping is astronomical at this point. So we're having to really find the best path forward. But relying on the people around you on a team are really, it's a really critical way to get things done better and faster and just without so many hiccups. So
right.
That's
critical. And your clients helped you with this. So
they're
team,
doing all the testing. And then my client who came to me, Lauren, she was the one who said, I can help you with a product. You should have a product in this space. You know, you're a really masterful teacher and there's no reason why you're not sharing this outside of your studio walls. And it just got my wheels turning because during COVID, that was a real thing where
everything was on Zoom.
And I could no longer, you know, adjust their pelvis or adjust their shoulders or, you know, give them cues in person. And this tool allows them to connect to their core in every movement and stay organized. This is all about staying organized so that even if you're doing a squat, your core is on fire. Your core is working like crazy. in a way that usually people are like, oh, that's about my peach, you know, I'm going to lift my booty and do some squats. Like, oh, no, 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 no. Let's not waste time. Let's get our core while we're at it.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, your core should always be on and always be working.
And it is by default, yeah, but with more intention.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you would say, what would you say to, I mean, you drew your bed, you came up with a new, more functional, you know, Pilates bed, Pilates system, I would say. Mm-hmm. What would you say to female entrepreneurs who, outside of a product launch, but just have an idea? Like, how did you get started? I mean, I know you said you sketched your bed, but then did you go to investors? Did you reach out on, I don't know, Craigslist? I mean, how do you do it?
I did it honestly through just my network of people I knew. I asked my business manager, like, hey, do you know a factory? Literally like that.
Do you know a factory?
And he was like, yeah, I think I do, you know, and ended up meeting with the group that make them here in the outskirts of Los Angeles. So the machines for the studios are made in the USA. But it's all about just like taking that leap and trusting yourself that you know that this is an outstanding idea. And I don't know if you've read the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, but it's the whole idea that the universe is giving you this idea. It is a gift, and it's not going to wait for you forever. And right. So I'm a big proponent of jump, start. There's no moment better than this moment. You're never going to feel completely ready. You're never going to have all the funding in place. I was down to $217 in my bank account when I opened my second studio. Mm-hmm. I mean, like nail-biting stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But I trusted and I knew that I was going to work really, really hard to make this work. And it has, you know, luckily worked really well. But the idea of not waiting so long so that the idea leaves you and lights upon someone else.
It happens because you see people all the time that say, I had that idea and someone else did it.
That's exactly right.
And it was such a unique idea. How did someone else come up mm-hmm. with this? It's just that it's floating around in the ether, mm-hmm. in the universe. It's all vibration. It's all energy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do something with it, someone else will. I think there's also something to be said about having faith in your own resilience. Because yes, even if you say, I'm going to take this leap and my investor falls through or it doesn't work out, you might be disappointed, but saying, okay, well, if this doesn't work, it wasn't meant to be, and I need to move on to the next thing because I have faith in my own abilities to
pick
move
myself
on to the
up and find something next. And that's what I want to share with my children is this idea of resiliency because, you know, I can give them education, I can give them skills, I can give them tools, but all of those might not always work out in the way they hope. So resiliency is critical.
I mean, and adversity, because life is supposed to be hard. Anything worth living for and any idea that you have that could change your life, nothing that's in your brain that is going to be birthed by you literally is easy. I mean, birthing a kid is not easy. The 9 months we bake and then when it comes out the oven is not easy. So I always tell people, when they have an idea or they do something, and I'm like, nothing's, marriage is not easy, raising kids is not easy, but they're both worth it.
Well, worth it. There's this thing that floats around that says, eating healthy is hard, but dealing with chronic disease is harder, right? So you're always choosing a version of hard.
There's always going to be some challenge, right? And when you are then unexpectedly faced with adversity, when I was diagnosed with cancer, like I was arguably the healthiest person in the room. And
yeah,
I only know one person, I won't name any names, who eats a little healthier than I do. But it was such a shock on so many levels. But going into it so strong, so healthy, nothing else to deal with, nothing else to have to attend to other than let's just kick cancer's ass. And that is our sole focus right now, being healthy, having good habits, having good movement habits, good eating habits. It allowed my team and myself to really fight the cancer, find that resiliency, and just keep going because it's going to throw you curveballs. Life's going to throw curveballs, and you better be ready to handle them.
I think that you are a really, really big cheerleader, and you really advocate for balance in general mm-hmm. in life. That is, I work really hard. I spend a lot of time with my family. I eat clean, but I also like to have a treat. I exercise a bunch. I also like to have a cocktail. And we are huge fans of that here at Team Tequila Talks as well. One thing that I think that you can speak for individually is you have been through cancer and chemo. And obviously that is a lot for anyone to go through. And you just came through it with the best attitude and you came out on the B side and you were so resilient. We were just talking about resilience in general, right? if people are going through a chronic illness or a difficult diagnosis, what would be just sort of some advice or just a nice thought that people could really hang on to get to the B side of that with that same positivity that you've had?
I think it's important to really just trust and believe in your ability to heal, your body's ability to heal. And a lot of times people are like, oh, I thought you were all into, you know, hippy dippy stuff and essential oils and meditation. And then you did chemo. And it's like, yeah, all of the above.
You could do both. Yeah.
All of the above. It doesn't have to be an either or. So I think it's really important to keep your mental game strong while you're going through something like a devastating diagnosis like this. There was no promise that I was going to survive. And so it's nothing short of a miracle that I did. But I also always believed that I would. And people say, oh, were you ever afraid that you wouldn't make it? No. I really just, until I knew otherwise, I believed I was going to get through this and do everything I could to get there. So if you can find it in yourself to stop Googling,
yeah,
I encourage everyone to not Google and to stay focused on what you can control in the moment. And for me, a big part of that was meditation. I chose to get deeper into guided meditations, which really helped to keep my head clear. And also, I continue to preach this, that movement heals. If it is a walk around your living room, it is a walk around your living room. If it is a breathing exercise because you cannot move, because there were days where I could not move, absolutely not at all. And then there are workouts online of me leading full workouts with not one strand of hair on my head. So it really is what you're up to, what you're up for that day. But intentional movement heals, even if it is a breathing mm-hmm. movement within your body. Your body does not really know the difference between lifting your arm or thinking about lifting your arm.
I mean, that's really powerful, because basically what you're saying is you have to like manifest your best. You know, you're like sitting there and you're like, I'm manifesting life right now, because I'm not going to think anything other than just life and living. And I believe you're so strong that even if they told you otherwise, because I've had family members had crazy diagnosis and they're like, nope, right. I'm healed. And they just repeat it every day, all day. And you're like, not looking good.
Look for that. Look for, you know, I watched a documentary on Netflix, I think, and it was called Healed or Healing. And it was about how people had used their thoughts and the power of their thoughts to heal. And think about, for me also, some days were so freaking hard that people are like, oh, one day at a time. Like, no, I can't shoot that far ahead right now. Oh, well, 1 hour at a time. Nope. It was literally one breath at a time. Get through this next breath, because some of those moments are so brutal that that's what you have, but that's something good to focus on instead of, I'm not going to get through this. Focus on, I'm going to keep breathing. I'm going to breathe in one more breath. I'm going to breathe in one more breath. And then it carries you through eventually onto the other side.
I am a big believer in the energy and working with the universe and the greater collective spiritually, and I'm a total fucking hippie.
Why were we friends, girl? Of course.
But there are a lot of people out there, and even just in conversations with some of my friends, they'll say, well, it's really hard for me to subscribe to that school of thought because I don't know if I believe in energy. I don't know if I believe in mindset, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm going to say that even if you are not familiar with the concept of energy and frequency or a connection with the universe, you're still wanting to experience something negative in the best possible mindset, because you can either worry about something awful and then the bad thing happens, or you just do the best that you can. And if the bad things happen, you deal with it then. All you're really doing is breaking down your spirit if you're in a negative mindset. So whether you believe in energy, spirituality, religion, any higher powers at all, at the end of the day, just being in this body in this moment, you still have power over the way that you are viewing your situation. And you can choose to be miserable, or you can just choose to be a little bit less miserable, because you can still sit there and say, my situation fucking sucks. Yeah. But I'm going to find one thing to be optimistic about, or I'm going to find one thing to be grateful for, just to take the burden off of myself. Because if I have something like a horrible diagnosis or something traumatic happen to me, mm-hmm. even if it's not something health related, mm-hmm. you can sit there and make, you can actually make it worse in your brain, and 100%. It takes a toll on you physically, and you're not sleeping as well, and you're anxious. So I just think from a physical perspective, not even talking about the spiritual, just isolating the physical effects, having at least hope or optimism or gratefulness, even if you're in a negative space, is just going to take a little bit of that weight off your shoulders.
It totally does. And I had a friend, we had a similar conversation to this. She was going through a really hard time, and she was like, "You're trying to tell me to bury my head in the sand." She took it differently than what I meant it, but I understood that interpretation because when someone's saying, I'm not saying push, you're not saying push forward, push through. You're saying just where is the sunlight? Just like, where is the sunlight? You know, just find your light. And I feel, and so I had,
I'm stuck in traffic, but I love this song.
Right. And it's not changing. You're still stuck in traffic, but you got some joy in traffic. And I was trying to tell her, oh, I'm not trying to tell you to just bury your head in the sand.
And pretend that it's not bad.
Right. No, because that's also not good. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to face the music eventually, but you can face it in a way that's more giving yourself a little more grace, a little more ease.
100%. Yeah. Can I take like 20 seconds and we'll do a little like example of why this is so?
Okay.
So close your eyes. And if you're listening and it's safe to do so, close your eyes. Ready? Take a deep breath. You can exhale. Keep breathing. All right. No, 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 no. Take a breath again. Keep breathing. Yes, 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 yes. Open your eyes, and I guarantee you, you felt different.
Yeah,
with those
you
two
feel way
very
lighter
simple
with
words.
The second.
Way
yeah,
lighter.
And I do this with training with my team because we always approach our clients from a yes, lifting up, positive perspective for this exact reason. I watched you both kind of collapse a little bit as I was saying no, like externally, like coming in towards the center, like, oh God, protecting yourself.
Yeah.
And then when I said yes, the first time you both got a smile on your face, their eyes were closed, and they both started sitting taller and breathing easier.
Yeah. I mean,
super simple.
So that's a super quick trip. Oh, my gosh. This is where the cocktails came in. That is a super quick trick that you can use. Mm-hmm. And we've talked before about even if you can meditate for a minute or less than a minute, when you just take a second to close your eyes, take a breath and regroup, and not even necessarily say I'm having such a shit day and all of a sudden everything is wonderful. It's just about neutralizing the negative thoughts and resetting. It's a good old unplug, replug.
I did it yesterday. I was having like a total panic, stressed out moment surrounding Wundacore and the launch. And it was a very exciting like person who had asked for a sample. And I couldn't find the packaging that I wanted to send, and I was freaking out.
And
I took three deep breaths, and it was like, okay. And the rest of my day was not smooth sailing, but it was. But I lost that spiral chaos.
You're stopping the spiral. You might not go. You might not rebound entirely,
right?
But you are stopping yourself from spiraling out of control.
What I like to do, and what helps when you're in a really negative space to do that, is when you're in a really good space and good things are happening, and if you start practicing meditating in the good moments, you kind of get used to doing it.
You don't want to pick that up when you're in a negative headspace.
No,
it's like going to the gym,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then when the bad happens, you automatically know how to fall in and drop into 100%. A space. 100%.
You're revisiting as opposed to trying to find something out for the first time.
And when I was spending all of this time in the hospital, and I was there for weeks on end more than once, and it was one of the only ways that I could really transcend that, like, woe is me, pity party. And I had a moment or two of that, of course, but it was a tool that I had in my toolbox to keep my brain and keep my focus on that resilient experience and on that resiliency focus to get through it.
So build your toolbox, look into whatever type of meditation works for you, because we know it's different for everybody.
Absolutely.
Amy, thank you for being here with us.
Amazing.
Check out Wundabar and the Wundacore.
We will
and nobody's going to judge you if you have tequila in your toolbox as well.
Ooh, that is a tool.
Like, subscribe, all those things. Team Tequila Talks. Thanks for listening.